You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
We're going to get back and, welcome, first of all, to the we're so busy tonight, I can't even welcome you properly, folks, but I'm James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller and Keith Alexander in here, experimenting with a new format tonight with all three of us in together, and I don't think we've been talking all over each other. We've been taking turns and sharing and playing nice, I believe. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We're going to be talking a little bit more, a continuation of the discussion that Eddie and I had last week. We're going to read an article here written by Coach Dave Daubenmeyer, who is in cahoots with Michael Perutka and his Institute on the Constitution and the American View organizations. But before we read that, let's go to Matt the Copperhead, our good friend and correspondent. Matt, how are you?
James, good evening. How you guys doing? I understand we have the trifecta of truth as the panel tonight. Three great individuals.
It is. We're all here.
We're having a ball here tonight. The only thing wrong here tonight, Matt, is that you're not here, and you and Scoop are not here. If we had y'all here, we would have the Penta effecta. We would be
I'm
really
not far behind.
You know what?
I'm on the road. I just passed the jewel of the Mississippi, Cairo, Illinois. So I'm not that far, guys.
No, what's it, about 212 miles from the Memphis city limits? If I remember, I've been years
like
since I was
change.
There.
Hey, I just want to make a quick comment, if you would indulge me, about this professor. I don't have knowledge of the gentleman, but he seems like a real ponce from across the pond, as I would say.
I'd say that sums it up nicely.
I mean, I guess he's trying to build some capital and cash in on, white guilt and left-wing academia, but here's the thing. You look at it just from my perspective. 200-something years, I don't know the technical date, of black chattel slavery. Of course, white indentured slavery was way before them. And then you got a handful of rebellions, as far as I'm educated on. A handful of rebellions. You look at our history as a European people, just into the Balkans, under Ottoman rule, how many rebellions were led by the Bulgarians, the Serbians, the Croatians, even the Albanians? I mean, rebellion after rebellion. I forget the hill in Sofia, but I remember vividly when I went to Sofia, Bulgaria. There's a hill that has a chopping block on it where the Turks decapitated thousands of Slavic Bulgarians in a rebellion. You know, you look at Croatia, my very namesake, Matija Glubek, he led a rebellion against the nobility, not of his own race, of his own people, but people that had enough. I mean, you can see it in countless times, the Irish against the English, the British establishment. I mean, so this whole notion that you're talking about a handful of rebellions and the most noteworthy and the Harper's Ferry raid was led by a white. So where are we going with this?
You know, Matt, that's one of the many reasons I love it when you come on. You know, your knowledge of Eastern Europe is top, trumps anybody I know. I love listening to you speak. Not only are you're as clear as Frank Sinatra in your speech, I can understand every word, you're very eloquent, and you can teach. It's like going to a class, a history class. I love that, and that's one of the big reasons I
appreciate it, Bombardier. Thank you very much. It's just we got to kind of cut to the quick and separate the wheat from the chaff when these so-called intellectuals want to put this kind of poison upon us. You know.
And I'm glad you came on, Matt, because one of the things near and dear to my heart, me and James have talked about tonight, and Keith. We kind of joke and say, well, tonight we're going to attack the church, renew our attack on the churches. But we like to point out, we do attack the fallacies in the church system. And, Matt, you and I have talked about probably several times. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit, Matt, about what's going on in South Africa that's never ever mentioned by these missionaries that are coming out of these evangelical churches in the South. A missionary goes to South Africa. Tell them what you know about what you told me about that, Matt.
Sure. I mean, it's an ongoing genocide of our people on the continent. And like you mentioned, Eddie, there's never one peep from any major denomination of Christianity on this continent. No one will ever have the guts, basically, to stand up and say, wait a minute, why are we throwing our money in going to these countries in Africa to evangelize to a people that essentially have been given the grace and glory of our gospel through Jesus Christ for over 150 years, and they're still practicing witchcraft, polygamy, that are so backwards that they still do not have the ability to have electricity on a normal, constant basis. But that's fine. We can throw our resources towards this. And what do we get for it in return? Have you ever seen a Kenyan, a Nigerian come to our aid if we have a natural disaster in Middle America, of a tornado or anything? A flood?
That's a great point. That is a great point. And we were talking about that actually in the last commercial break, Copperhead.
I got an email from a Nigerian once, but it sure wasn't about helping us out.
Well, this is a good point because, you know, when you have interfaith gatherings, to hash out the issues, you know, it's always Christians welcoming Jews and Muslims into to our churches. You know, when's the last time you heard of a gathering at Mecca welcoming Christians Jews opening up their synagogues to help us, you know, come together on Christmas or something like that? No, I mean, it's an absolute assault, and it's a relentless assault. And, you know, listen, we do have a Great Commission. I don't have a problem with people spreading the gospel to the darkest nether regions of the globe, but there should be a balance there, and we shouldn't forget the people. And I bring up Estonia as an example, where 3% of the population, I mentioned this a couple of times, claim to be Christians. 3% in Estonia. You know, this is Christendom. This is Europe. These are the people responsible for spreading the gospel. God used European man to spread his word. And those were the ones who carried the faith, you know, from the original disciples and apostles. So, I think we should, circle the wagons
and cast our pearls. It should be to our own people.
Well, we got to re-solidify our center, you know, and once we get that established, you know, Christianity is dying in Christendom itself, you know, continue to do whatever. But these churches, you know, 100% of the outreach, 100% of the time is to third world non-white places. And I think, you know, a part of it is because they believe they can get, you know, cheap conversions. I told Eddie, you know, you could go to some of these tribesmen that are worshiping witches and take a garbage can and tell them if they put enough faith in it, it'll start, you know, stand up and start dancing and doing all this, and they'd believe it. You know, so I think that there's a little bit of that going on.
Got the Gospels from Livingston, so they've been converted. If not, absolutely, they're steeped in Sunni Islam. Even with that, James, I think we need to do something as far as our people with the cesspool, maybe start in Memphis.
Hey, I want to address that. I want to address that with you, Matt. When we come back to the break,
we'll get to it. Matt, sure. Listen, thank you for the call. We have actually Scoop that's coming up in a segment after this because we had to bump him in the first hour from his normal slot to accommodate Joe McCutcheon. But we're going to read this from Coach Dave, and we'll comment more on Matt. Matt, thank you for the call. Drive safe, brother. We'll be back.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor Score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, I'm going to read this as quickly as I can, folks. So I'm going to do my imitation of the Micro Machine Man, and then we're going to toss it back to Eddie. But this is a continuation of our conversation that we started last week, during which Eddie and I talked about the illegal proclamation from the mayor of Houston, Texas, the lesbian mayor of Houston, Texas, that said pastors who spoke out against homosexuality would be in violation of court and guilty of a crime. Here's what Coach Dave writes. I guess I don't understand what all the hubbub is about. Why are Houston's pastors objecting to and turning over their sermons to the government? Haven't they all told us to obey the authorities? Doesn't Romans 13 demand that we obey ungodly government? This is what I thought of when I heard the pastors get all riled up about the lesbian mayor in Houston demanding to see their sermons. Hand it over, lackeys. The government is established by God to do good, remember? It made me laugh. Aren't these guys supposed to be watchmen? Isn't it part of their job to see the wolf coming and warn the folks? Instead, they have told us that God wants us to obey lesbian mayors, unless it directly involves them. I'm sorry, but there's a part of me that wants to tell them that they got what they deserved. It's funny, isn't it? They only get mad when they are the ones violated. It's time to close the barn door. That time has long since passed. They thought they were safe hiding from the world in their stained glass fortresses. The devil's spawn found the way in to where they hide. They have finally breached the wall. God has not appointed us to wrath, the pastors foolishly instructed their flocks. All we need is to hide inside this building and wait for Jesus to come and rescue us. Religion and politics don't mix, they told us. Our job is to preach the gospel, get souls saved, and not to pollute our pulpits by talking about worldly matters. This world is not our home. But unfortunately, they forgot that we have to live in this world. They neglected the mandate to occupy until I come home. They ignored the precept that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Jesus hasn't come yet, but the government officials are beginning to. The modern-day preaching of Romans 13 has forfeited the church's authority. The pastor's exhortation to obey wicked government leaders and edicts has opened the gates to a hellish assault upon all things good. This may come as a shock to you, but Jesus is above Caesar. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. God owns everything. Caesar only owns what we yield to him.
You know,
I'm
James,
sorry, Coach Dave continues, but this is not what the Lord had in mind when he went to the cross. This is what Jesus said. Behold, I send you forth as sheep into the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men, for they will devour you and deliver you up into their councils and scourge you in their synagogues. But when, not if, they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it is not you that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. You shall be hated of all men. When was the last time that was preached in Houston, Texas? America's pastors have become so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. If the devil and his minions are not interested in controlling the world, why is it that everywhere I look are money, government buildings, entertainment, etc., I see symbols of their Luciferian activities? And he goes on from there. I can't read it all, or I won't have enough time to pass it over to Eddie, but he says this in closing. This is just the beginning, lackeys. They are coming for your churches. You didn't stand up when prayer and Bible reading were removed from schools. You didn't fight when they legalized the murder of the unborn. You remained silent when homosexual sodomy was legalized and force-fed to your children. You offered nary a peep when our constitutional rights to free speech and privacy were suspended in the name of security. You blathered about how it will be a cold day in hell when they force you to marry homosexuals. Well, you better get your earmuffs and long underwear out because things are beginning to cool off. Silence isn't yellow. Silence isn't golden, he writes. It's yellow.
That's one of the best pieces I've ever heard, James. And I cannot even come close to matching that. I know I'd never top it. But I would just like to say that St. Stephen was stoned to death. St. Paul was stoned and scourged many times. Daniel, yeah, beheaded. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Jesus Christ was crucified. You know why? Because they defied the government. John the Baptist was beheaded because he defied the government. How about that for your Romans 13? You know, I see the preachers, modern-day preachers, waving their 501c3s like Neville Chamberlain waved that piece of paper when he said, peace in our time in 1939 when he came back from a meeting with Chancellor Hitler. What we've done, we surrendered our churches for the precious tax-free 501c3, and partially, but even more than that, because of the cowardice we have. And like I was just telling before that we went to the break, just like the Marxists, the left-wingers, the Antichristers have co-opted and hijacked everything in our society. They've rammed homosexual marriage down our throat. They're teaching, all this lukewarm anti-Christian crap in churches. They've also co-opted and perverted our Great Commission. The Great Commission has been perverted. The Great Commission has become a feel-good, welfare program where we have a revolving door of ministers, and missionaries going to these black African countries. Like James said, we can never, ever, ever go to a white nation to evangelize. Well, I'll tell you what, people, I'm throwing the gauntlet down to you because I'm going to do it myself. I, for one, am sick and tired of our missionaries going to only black churches. I am going to come out of the closet, so to speak. I'm going to protest full speed as respectfully as I can in my church. I'm going to tell the ministers, the people in charge of these missionaries, in our church that we support, that I'm tired of that. I will no longer support that. I'm going to make a ruckus about it respectfully, in a Christian way. I'll challenge you people to do the same thing. We can turn this around, but we're going to have to get the courage to get off our duffs and tell the people in our church we're sick and tired of going over here and evangelizing the same countries that have been evangelized for 150, 175 years, and they're still living in poverty and squalor. And let me turn this
over. Well, no, I was going to say, when is the last time that we saw any of the black churches in America, particularly here in the South, send missionaries to Eastern Europe where Christianity is absolutely dead because anybody that believed in it during the Soviet era were murdered? When is the last time you saw that happen? Again, it's all well and good. Go wherever you want to. Let there be a balance, though, and remember that charity begins at home and that our family should come first. And, certainly the black missionaries can feel free to evangelize wherever they would like. But again, you don't see them going to Europe either. This is what Coach Dave writes also, and we'll toss it to Keith. They will make the churches, they will make these pastors marry homosexuals. They will throw them in jail and seize their church if they don't. The devil and his kids don't play fair. They play dirty. And these pastors are going to soon experience the firsthand, the wrath that they assured us we would never have to endure. History will record at no time in world history were a group of pastors more complicit in the advancement of evil than the current crop of man-pleasers currently filling America's pulpits, Keith.
Well, cultural Marxism targeted every institution that sets moral or ethical values for takeover from within. This is the perfect way for a group of radical leftists to seize power, because they don't have to gain any money and buy anything. They just insinuate themselves into positions of employment, then leadership among the employees, and then when they reach critical mass, they take it over. And the churches have fallen to the cultural Marxist long march through the institutions, just like the entertainment industry, just like higher academia, just like the arts, and every other institution that forms public opinion. Now, put yourself in the position of one of these leftists. You look at the church. What do you say? You say, well, you know, what they believe is a bunch of hooey, but you know what? They have a lot of wealth. They have a lot of expensive real estate, and they have influence. Let's take them over and subvert them and turn them into an engine for promoting the revolution. And that's exactly what they've done. You have not only mainline Protestant churches, but now the Roman Catholic Church and even fundamentalist churches that have exchanged the true gospel for the social gospel. And the best way I can explain it is the passage in the Bible, in the Gospels, that says, this is the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the second, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's a reason the first was first, and a reason why the second was the second, folks. We'll explore this in more depth after these words from our sponsors.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we have absolutely got to make haste in this segment. We got to get to Peter Scoop Stanton, who Joe McCutchen could only appear during the first hour. So Scoop was gracious enough to push back his regularly scheduled segment until the third hour. But before we get to Scoop, Chris from Alaska with a very quick comment. Chris, thank you for calling in as always.
James, thank you very much. First of all, congratulations on the birthday, Henry. I'm sorry I was remiss in not mentioning that last week. Secondly, I wanted to bring up that when this Third World Outreach stuff, the Catholic Church doesn't get any more priests from it, the Baptist Church doesn't get any more pastors, and you don't get people putting money into the coffers, you get people taking money out, so it's kind of counterproductive on the worldly level.
That's true.
Which is most of what they're going for is worldly success. But lastly, I wanted to bring this up and hear what the panel has to say. There's a small town in Alaska called Nome that has a spending problem. They spent too much money, and the local government is going to start taxing the churches because they're just flat out of money, and all the valuable real estate that Keith just mentioned is going untaxed. So Memphis is broke. The whole country is broke. Every municipality in the country has a money problem, and eventually those churches are going to get taxed anyway. So when you support all this liberalism, eventually it's going to come back to bite you when the government runs out of cash, because liberalism just ends up costing all kinds of money. So it's counterproductive in that. It's already happening. It's happening here in Alaska. It'll happen all over the country. So once again, the political stuff.
Well, you know, it's a social. Chris, thank you so much. It's a socialist scheme for sure, and thank you, Chris, for the comments about my son as well. It's a socialist scheme. I mean, certainly what the Baptists here in Memphis are putting in, they're not getting back in tithes. I guess they're stacking up their crowns.
It's all a plot, basically. Let's boil it down to its most basic terms. It's a plan and a plot to transfer wealth from the white community to the non-white community. Just like taxes. I imagine that Nome, Alaska has a tax problem because it is probably supporting a lot of non-whites, probably American Indians and Eskimos that are on the dole. They have this excessive appetite for public benefits, just like blacks do in Memphis, for example. That's why Memphis is going broke. That's why Detroit went broke. That's why Haiti is the most broke place in the Western Hemisphere. The same old reason. There are some people that believe it's more blessed to give than to receive, and they want us to be blessed by giving to them.
Thank you for the call, Chris. Let's go to Scoop. Scoop, what's on your plate tonight, brother?
Good evening, Cesspool family. excuse me. Instead of talking about the media mess in Ferguson, instead of talking about the 5 million new so-called citizens, instead of talking about the president's abuse of power, I want to talk about Bill Cosby. Now, Bill Cosby, short history, he is a U.S. Navy veteran. He is also a recipient of a PhD from Temple University, and he's also no longer useful for the left. His television career, he was a pioneer as a leading role in the TV show I Spy. He also had the Bill Cosby Show, the Fat Albert cartoon, and, of course, the Cosby Show. Well, it turns out Mr. Cosby, for the past 30 or so years, has taken indecent liberties with females. A comedian made a joke about a allegation from the 1980s, and that just sprung a leak. But you might ask yourself, well, how come this is coming out now? Well, let's go back to the 1980s. The Cosby Show was NBC's Thursday Night Juggernaut. The show profiled a high-class, professional black family, and therefore Cosby could do no wrong. And if you think NBC is going to make waves for their moneymaker, you're sadly mistaken. Also, the female lead, Fasila Rashad, married NBC sportscaster Ahmad Rashad. Also, Mr. Cosby's politics during the 80s and 90s was far from the right. He supported Alton Maddox, C. Bernard Mason, and Al Sharpton when it came to Twan Brawley. And we all know what happened with that. It was a big hoax. He also had other very leftist leanings, and he supported Barack Obama in the first and second election. Now, ask yourself, why would this American pioneer of comedy and television all of a sudden have all these allegations come out now? Well, that's because recently Mr. Cosby has been speaking against bad behavior among blacks, and he's also demanding blacks to take responsibility for their actions and act responsible. And so,
Well, I'm actually glad you brought this up. We've been so busy tonight with Amnesty and Ferguson. Obviously, Amnesty has basically shuttered everything else we wanted to talk about tonight, or a lot of it. But I've been following this Bill Cosby story. Now, certainly, and I'm glad you brought it up, because otherwise we wouldn't have gotten to it tonight. Certainly, it is not unfathomable that a black person would rape somebody. I mean, that's what they're known for. The statistics from the Department of Justice and the FBI back that up. I mean, they are very brazen when it comes to rape, you know, disproportionately so based upon their position, percentage of the population. They rape a lot. So this is not unusual behavior for a black man to engage in. But I did read a piece from Jesse Lee Peterson that was also somewhat compelling in saying that it was because of the stances that Bill Cosby has taken, somewhat contrary to typical stances taken by black leaders, and that he betrayed a stand-up family man in his show, that this has come out so many years after the fact. I am not necessarily convinced that Bill Cosby raped every woman that he ever came in contact with. I mean, there's been like 100 women that have come forward saying that he raped them. I mean, he is very active if that's the case. I am not completely convinced that he has done this. If he has, you know, why did it never go to court? Why has he never been convicted of this? Why did none of them speak about it at the time? Keith, I know you're chomping at the bit to talk about this.
Well, this follows a tried and true pattern, Scoop. The left has the goods on people in power and authority, from members of Congress to people on the Supreme Court to the presidents, and even more so people in the entertainment industry. So consequently, they had these people in their pocket, ready to spring, you know, to set loose like a pack of dogs on Bill Cosby or anyone else so that they can control them. And Bill Cosby is, in ghetto parlance here in Memphis, now off the chain officially, as far as they're concerned, because he's criticizing black people for dysfunctional behavior. And that's a no-no. So consequently, all this stuff has come out of the woodwork. Bill Cosby was just a typical alpha male who had a lot of female conquests, and I'm sure a lot of these women had ulterior motives. They thought they were going to marry him. They thought they were going to get wealthy. They thought they were going to have their careers as actresses promoted by doing stuff with
him. That's probably right, Keith.
And when it didn't work out, there was a little bit of angst. It's just like Roger Devlin talks about in his landmark essay, Sexual Utopia in Power.
Well, so many rapes are you know, after the fact, you know, buyer's remorse. Oh my God, I can't, you know, he raped me. And now that we've changed our mind about
the whole date rape epidemic, and the fact that when your daughter goes to college, she will be assailed in the first weeks of orientation to be sensitized to the issue of date rape, which is basically if you have sex with a man or a boy and basically, it doesn't turn out to be a happily ever after scenario or whatever you wanted it to turn out into, then you have the option the morning after or the week after to conclude that it was actually right.
There you go. All right, Scoop, a final word to you. And again, I want to thank you for bringing this topic up for conversation tonight, because it has been something I've been following with a great deal of interest. Do you think he did it? I mean, let's just, yeah, I mean, what do you think about Cosby?
Well, one other thing I forgot to mention was that in the 1990s, early 2000s, there's a Autumn Jackson who looks just like Cosby, tried to blackmail him, and the media went after her because for blackmailing him, even though he didn't say he was the father, did not say he was not the father, and I guess took care of the mother. But I mean, it is what it is. The truth's going to come out, and it says Cosby had the audacity to criticize black people. Guess what? He's now thrown under the bus by the left.
Well, and let me ask you this, Keith, another legal question. This has been about the third one tonight. Is there a statute of limitations on quote-unquote rape? I mean, if this is rape, why are charges not being filed here? Why is it just a media circus?
Well, there is a statute of limitations on rape, but then they're going to disregard it whenever they can. They have things like the discovery doctrine that you just discovered that you had been raped or something.
The scoop always calls in at work, and so that's what that is.
I don't know what that was. It was a message from outer
Scoop's
space.
Scoop's being beamed up right now.
Yeah, beam me up, Scotty.
Anyway, Scoop, thanks again, brother, and I appreciate you being willing and being flexible tonight to accommodate our guests during the first hour and for coming in with the real ringer, the whole Cosby thing. That was something I that's a good point. Innocent until proven guilty. Now, this is, I will put Bill Cosby in the same camp as Darren Wilson there, the officer in Ferguson. Whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty and due process, both Darren Wilson and Bill Cosby are victims of social media and mainstream media lynching in this. And so I'm on the side of Bill Cosby until I have reason not to be on this case.
That's a true high-tech lynching.
Good point.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, before this segment is over, I have got to read George Washington's original Thanksgiving Proclamation. We do it every year. It's a difficult read for me because he actually writes well and uses proper, he uses the King's English, and so we're not used to reading that kind of stuff anymore. So we got to get to that. We do it every year. It's our last show before Thanksgiving, so it's coming up. But first, and I'm a Southerner, so I speak slowly. Don't let my radio persona fool you. We do have Courtney from Alabama. Now, Courtney did not want to call in. She wanted to be demure and ladylike. She says she's called in a couple of times recently, and she doesn't want to overstep her bounds. But I compelled her to do so. So I'll take responsibility for this. She says that the topic we were talking about earlier with Eddie about the churches is one that really gets her going. And she has something to share about this. So we're going to see what she has to say. We like a woman's voice and a feminine perspective here from time to time. And she's our go-to. Like Joe is the one on immigration.
She's our designated woman.
She's the woman we go to, yes.
Right, exactly. I'm from female perspective.
Courtney, what can we do for you tonight?
Thank you so much for letting me call in tonight. But basically, yeah, this church issue is focused on only sending missionaries to non-white countries. This has gotten me going for a long time. I've noticed it in Baptist churches for as far back as I can remember. And when I was in college, the Baptist church I was going to had a large college ministry there. And there was one Sunday where during the congregation, the pastor showed us a video, the entire congregation a video, where he was showing where they were sending missionaries to these churches on the border that were set up for illegal immigrants. And this was right after I had given the church a very huge tithe. And what I did was I sent my pastor an email, and I told him how I wanted to get my tithe back because I didn't want to support such a thing. And instead of replying to me directly, he embarrassed me by sending my email to other people who knew me in the church. Wow. And he said, "Do you know who she is? Can you tell me about her? Is she crazy?" And, you know, he embarrassed me by sending my email to other people. And that was how I found
out. Well, anybody would have to be crazy that thought to get that they were going to get money back from a pastor like that, I guess is what he presumed. Excuse me. Go right ahead, Courtney. See, it shows you that they basically co-opted the church, don't you think?
Right. And so he asked to meet me in person once he found out from my friends that I wasn't crazy. And I met him in his office, and I was kind of scared. But once we sat down, he starts telling me, "Oh, Courtney, I agree with everything you're saying." But then the next day during his sermon, he's preaching multiculturalism again. And then there was one time when I wrote a tithe specifically for mission work in Europe. Like, I wrote that out at the bottom of my check. And, you know, that became a controversy. One of the pastors had to call me up, and they had to ask, "Well, what do you mean by this?" And so, I mean, it's absurd. I've been noticing this for a while, and, you know, and I'm just tired of it. So,
well, thank you for your call and for your show of support and your sentiments. And it's good to know that other right-thinking, decent people are thinking right and decently about this.
Well, Courtney, let me say this. It is very, very difficult, but very, very necessary that you find the right church. And the right church is difficult to find nowadays. I have searched and searched. I found basically the lesser of, you know, of the evils that I go to. There's not one that is going to reflect us unless you go to a home church, just like homeschooling. But thank you so much for your comments. They're right on point, and I'm sure they reflect the experience of a lot of other people who are frustrated with the drift to the left of our churches.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and I'll let James go on with reading what he wanted to read about Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're quite welcome. Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, and speaking of Thanksgiving, you know, they don't make them like this anymore, George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation. As I always ask, we're going to give Eddie the final word on the hour tonight. But can you imagine someone like Obama ever having the kind of character it would take to deliver anything so beautiful and righteous? I mean, certainly he or his handlers couldn't write anything like this to begin with, nor would they have the presence of mind or spirit to come up with it, even if they had the grammar. faculties. But George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation speech represents the kind of America that we seek to restore. And I ask that when it's posted on Thanksgiving Day at thepoliticalcesspool.org that you send it around to your email list and share it with your friends and family. This is what we're all about. So we started the show with some good news. We're going to end the show with good news. And we had about 2 hours and 50 minutes of hell in between. But here we go. George Washington. And bear with me, folks, as I try to read this, because, again, he uses proper English. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protections and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have, by the joint committee, requested to me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign this Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty that which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may unite most humbly, offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, A.D. 1789, signed George Washington. Well, folks, I hope you could follow along with that. You can read it at your own speed at thepoliticalcesspool.org on Thanksgiving. But I tell you this, here as we approach this day of Thanksgiving, we here at the Political Cesspool Radio Program, my staff and crew here in Memphis and in Utah, our on-air talent and production folks, we give thanks this week for our loyal audience of faithful listeners. We couldn't do it without you. So happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. From our hosting staff and production crew, America's changed quite a bit since George Washington wrote that, hasn't it, Eddie?
No doubt, my brother, my young son, it certainly has. And you know, that was the I couldn't think of a better way to end this show than with George Washington's Thanksgiving speech. And I apologize for not getting to that earlier. You know, the reason I'm such an optimist is because God never works through a majority. Hope you don't get sick of me saying that. But George Washington, in the war he fought, was almost destined to lose. They were fighting against impossible odds. The way they did it was they turned to God. When they were fighting that war, this was pretty much a Christian nation. And the reason we're having all these problems, you name it, the out-of-control immigration, the destruction of the borders, the destruction of the school system, the sodomy being rammed down our throats, the Ferguson riots, the IRS, you name it. Any possible thing you can think of that's been happening to us bad has been caused, in my opinion, my humble opinion, and I bet you Keith, who is a Christian, and James, too, will agree, is because this nation has turned its back on God. If we get back to God, it only takes us a minority. We don't have to have the entire nation turn back to God. Look what was done in the Old Testament when only a few people would get together and pray to God. But I guarantee you, the only way we can turn this country back, you know, I love the Constitution. One of the presidents said, let it be preached. He said, study the Constitution. Let it be preached in the pulpit, proclaimed in the legislatures, enforced in the courts of justice. I say that the Constitution came from the Bible. The real is the Bible, because it is the absolute word of God. If we do not turn back to God and have a revival in this nation, we are going to experience trouble. What do you think, Keith?
Keith, you got about 30 seconds.
Absolutely. What I would say is that liberalism is the modern face of evil. There is no such thing as liberal Christianity. Anybody that tries to blend the two is blending fecal matter and ice cream. It doesn't improve the ice cream, it doesn't improve the fecal matter, and it ruins the ice cream, folks.
Folks, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I think tonight's experiment with the three of us in studio at the same time went off pretty good. We may do that again. We'll talk to everybody next week. God bless y'all. www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.